plate a potential nugget.
Let's go back to the basics, Karthik. Why don't we start with just understanding the definition of machine intelligence? What do you have in mind? And also, why write this book and why now?
Yeah, sure. So artificial intelligence or machine intelligence is the idea of getting computers to do the kinds of things that takes human intelligence. For example, understand language, navigate the physical world, meaning pick up objects, manipulate objects, recognize people, recognize things in the visual world, reason, learn, all those kinds of things. So that's artificial intelligence. And a subfield of artificial intelligence is machine learning, which gets a lot of attention recently. And it's focused on how do you get machines to learn from data. And arguably, it's the most important subfield of AI, because if you have a system that can learn faster than us, but it's very basic at the beginning, it won't take a long time for that system to catch up with us. On the other hand, you have a system that's got all our knowledge, but it cannot learn. It takes only a day for us to leave it behind. So machine learning is arguably the most important subfield of AI. And you know why I wrote this book is because AI and machine learning are entering into all kinds of technology that we touch today. And most of these technologies have underlying algorithms in them. And so these algorithms, essentially for people who don't know, an algorithm is simply a glorified term for a series of steps one follows to get something done. So any software you use, it follows a set of steps to do what it's doing. Like Amazon makes product recommendations. People who bought this also bought this. That is its recommendation algorithm. And so any software has algorithms. These algorithms are becoming more intelligent. More AI is coming into them. And they are also making more and more decisions for us. And so I think we should care about it. And people don't understand how much of an impact they have on decisions we make. For example, my research shows that over a third of the purchases people make on Amazon originate from algorithmic recommendations. Over 80% of viewing activity on Netflix and over 70% of the time people spend on YouTube is driven by algorithms. You know, Deepak, you were in recruiting. Recruiting is using a lot of algorithms to screen resumes and figure out which applicants to invite for job interviews. And they're also being used in, medicine. Doctors are consulting algorithms to make personalized treatment decisions. In courtrooms in the US, you have algorithms being used to guide judges on sentencing decisions. We're working on driverless cars. So the stakes are just getting higher and higher.
Going back to an earlier conversation I had on this podcast, Karthik, with the chess legend Vishwanathan Anand, I'd asked him about his thoughts on the role of humans in a world where the machines are getting smarter by the day. And given Deep Blue beat Kasparov some time back, what he said was interesting. He spoke about a version of chess called Advanced Chess, started by Garry Kasparov. And it's a bit like an open book exam where you can refer a computer for a move and then play what you want.
Yeah.
But then he went on to say that, you know, a man plus machine versus man plus machine very soon became machine versus machine. So I guess he was making the point that, when you got two smart machines playing each other, there was limited value that a human could add in the middle. So I guess a philosophical question is, how do you see the role of humans in a world where the machines are getting smarter exponentially by the day?
Right. So that's really interesting. So I think some of the studies have shown that man plus machine beats man and it beats machine. So it seems like there is some role for man to play. But I agree with, obviously a huge chess legend, Vishwanathan Anand is saying, which is that eventually the role of humans is going to diminish in something like that. And with more and more activities around us, it's going to be the case that for a long period of time, man plus machine will beat both man and machine. And it will be the case that machine will beat man, but then man plus machine will beat machine. But then eventually, as machines advance, the role of the human diminishes. So I think as we move towards what is known as artificial general intelligence, which is this idea that AI can be generally intelligent like us, not at very narrow tasks. Like, you know, you have a system like Deep Blue or more recently Leela Zero or Alpha Zero, which play chess, which can beat humans at chess, but they can't treat diseases. They cannot understand language and so on. But as we move towards artificial general intelligence, which is systems that are generally intelligent like us, I think our role will diminish. And, you know, there'll be a lot of questions that we'll have to answer about what is work, you know, how do we engage with meaningful work and so on. I think this idea of, you know, jobs or roles which require compassion, which require a human touch, which require personalization. I mean, you do something that is very interesting, which is personalized exec coaching. So that's, I think these are the kinds of things, or you look at what a doctor and a nurse does, you can automate a lot of things they do, like diagnose diseases, maybe even figure out the right treatment options. But I think for a patient, the value of speaking to a doctor or have a nurse right there, talk to them, those things are, you know, hard to sort of quantify and replace. And so I think some of those kinds of roles will be ones that will become more important.
Hmm. And do you see, maybe just picking on one of the things you said, artificial general intelligence, how do you see the curve there? And do you see a certain point of singularity where things, the dynamic completely shifts?
Yeah, so the point of singularity would be the point where the system is as intelligent than us, but then it has more processing power than us and can handle more data than us. So it will leave us behind in no time. And once we get there, then you could as well ask, you know, what's the point of humans doing anything? Because let's say you wanted to come up with a cure for cancer, but why even try? Because this system can process data faster than you, is, you know, super intelligent. So it'll beat you to it. Mm-hmm. And clearly that is a very interesting and both promising and scary scenario. In terms of your point on when this might happen, you know, we can only speculate. There was a survey that was done, I believe, by author Nick Bostrom, where he asked some of the leading AI researchers on when singularity or when superintelligence might, when might we hit that. And the survey, you know, the vast majority of the leading AI researchers who were surveyed gave a projection in the 25 to 75 years range. Now, I personally don't subscribe to 25 years, but let's say you go with the high end of the range, 75 years, or you even say 100, 150 years. That's not that far.
Hmm.
And so I think we have to start thinking today in terms of how we prepare for those kinds of scenarios.
Got it.
When you think of AI and ML, one would like to think that it's something that impacts the coders and the scientists in places like Google and Facebook. But after reading the book and after looking at statistics around how much influence the algorithms at Amazon, Netflix, and Google and so on have in our lives, I was blown away at how many of us go through our lives without consciously thinking about the repercussions of just playing along rather than being thoughtful and deliberate about our choices. There's definitely an efficiency argument, because you get what you want easily because the service provider has data about you. But there's a real trade-off here that sometimes we don't see. You do get to see only one part of the universe and miss out on experiencing something that you might have if not for the algorithm crowding your mind space. Thank you for listening. Please visit playtopotential.com for more podcast content. You could visit the curated playlist section on the website for specific bite-sized nuggets that are captured by themes, some of which might be relevant to you. Some of these topics include authenticity, mindfulness, reinventing yourself, navigational principles, and so on and so forth. You can also find the podcast offline on platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more.